This morning we're going to be reading from Jonah chapter 3, and we're reading the whole chapter as we reflect upon a year of change. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dirt. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let any of them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God might yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, so we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Thus far, the reading of God's word from Jonah chapter 3. As we think about the last year that we went through, March 13, 2020, suddenly we have had a new distinction that was never here before that we had. We had a distinction between essential entities and non-essential entities. And non-essential entities included movie theaters, churches, clothing stores, and many other things were in the non-essential category. And on the other side, we had essential businesses like grocery stores, restaurants were on that side also. Grocery stores, feed businesses, farming, and all them kind of things could continue to operate as normal. And along with that, we were required to wear a mask, make sure that we kept 6 foot distance from each other, and also to isolate. And one of the challenges that has come with this, I know even for myself, my mom was born in 1937, and I had reservations about even visiting my own mom, because I would not want to bring any virus into her house. Now I can imagine right here in Virgins that you guys have experienced exactly the same thing. You had reservations about, my mom always came over our house for Sunday lunch, and so suddenly that stopped. And not only did that stop, but also here, the message was being broadcast either with Facebook or YouTube or in a different way, and that was never done before. We had to watch our messages being brought to us on the television or on our computer screens in our houses. And then when we had to take part of communion, communion just wasn't the same with having it in a group of fellowship of others. Now we had to do it in our home with, and I don't know how you did it here, but I can just imagine with little cups and little things that you had to do it, had to make your own elements at home. And everything, it seems like it's just upside down. And suddenly, as we are in this time of a year change, there's lots of things that are happening. And some things are good and some things are not good at all. But in the midst of it, one of the things that comes very clear to me is that God speaks to us in the middle of our change. Jonah had a change also. He was called from his country, his home country of Israel, to proclaim a message to Nineveh. And that call in and of itself was like you and me being called during the middle of World War II to go to Berlin, Germany, and say to the Germans that destruction is coming upon Germany, and Germany, you need to repent. Or to go in the middle of the Cold War, to go to Moscow, Russia, and say to the Russians, you need to repent or destruction is going to come to Russia. It would just, you know, if you think about that calling, if you arrive in Berlin or in Moscow, you'd probably get laughed at or imprisoned. But that's what God called Jonah to do. I want you to go to Nineveh and make this proclamation in Nineveh. And there was a year of change in Jonah's life. And Jonah wasn't necessarily supportive of this change. The Ninevites, on the other hand, they also experienced a year of change. They had this prophet come from the small country of Israel and make a proclamation that destruction was going to come to this city. And the Ninevites had a choice they could make. You can just ignore this person and carry on, or we could do something about it. And so as we reflect upon the year of change in our own lives, the book of Jonah has a message for us, and God is speaking to us in the middle of the things that are happening in our lives. And the first thing that I want to draw to our attention is this, that our God can operate in messes and in confusion and when things are totally upside down. What do we hear in Genesis 1? That as there was chaos, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters where there was darkness. And what did God do? He created order out of the darkness. He established light for night, or light for day and darkness for night. He put the stars in their heavens. He defined things and brought definition. He created and did things in the middle of chaos. When we think about when Jesus Christ came to earth and in Jerusalem, things weren't all orderly. The Romans were in charge. Other things were happening. And in the midst of all the chaos that was happening, the adverseness that he received from the religious establishment, God was at work right in the middle of it. And what I can tell you, even as you and I, in this day right now, as we go through the chaos of a virus, that God is at work and do things. The other thing that I want to highlight for us, and that is that God wants to have our attention. He's knocking at our door. He knocked at Jonah's door, and that call on Jonah's life was so strong that Jonah couldn't stay in Israel. He knew he had to move. And so instead of just staying put, he gets on a boat and heads off to Tarshish. What I can tell you is years ago, I was sitting in a Bible class at Eastern Christian High School. And I wanted nothing to do with college. I didn't enjoy high school. I didn't enjoy schooling. That was just, I would love to be on the farm. And while I was in that classroom, there were some people who came to that classroom from Reformed Bible College. And the Holy Spirit pinned me in my seat that day. And I don't know a word that they said, but I said, Holy Spirit, if I'm going to go to any college or university, I'm going to go to Reformed Bible College. There was a calling on my life, and I was supposed to go. And I, after a year working on the farm, I went off to Reformed Bible College. And after many things, went on to universe or to seminary as well. Jonah had a call on his life. And Jonah didn't like the call in his life. He thought it was a non-essential call. I don't need to go to Nineveh. Why do the Ninevites need me? In fact, he said, if I go, they might repent and God might have mercy on them. And the last thing is I want to see is God have mercy on them. I would rather see them destroyed. Not only did God want to get Jonah's attention, and he runs, and the ultimate sin is what we see here of what Jonah does, is he's running. And that's what we do when we sin as well. We run away from God. We run away from each other. We don't want to be in fellowship with each other. And that's the essence of sin. Ninevites received the call also. Now, God himself, in chapter 1, verse 1, says about Nineveh is that it was a wicked city. What we know from history and also from scriptures is that they were some of the most brutal and cruel people when it came to destroying other nations. It was just off the charts. It was kind of like ISIS in our day. They were brutal. And amidst their brutalness, God observed it and he noticed. And he says, time out. Something has to change. And God in his mercy sends them a prophet. I believe that in our day today, God has knocked at America's door also and said, America, I want your attention. And we have had a virus. And God not only wants our attention, he's knocking on the entire door of every country in this world saying, I want your attention. And as God has our attention, we have a choice to make. We can do what Jonah did and say, God, I don't need you, and run away. We can fix our own problems. And as I reflect upon our world in which we live today, and think about some of the challenges that we face. When I think about America, what have we done? We said, God, we want you out of the public square. God, we don't want you in schools. We don't want to have anybody praying to you. And when we look at the news, what do we hear? We hear lots of interaction between Democrats and Republicans, between the right and left, and there's this toxic conflict going on, which is unbelievable. And even within families, it gets really hot and heated. I don't know about your family, but I know families where things get really intense. And God is saying to us in America, time out, America. When we start calling right wrong and right wrong right, something is out of kilter. And God didn't tell us what was going on in the city of Nineveh, but the only thing that he said was very wicked. And when we start doing things in our own eyes, and one of the things that really I find striking in our culture today is there's all this talk between the right and the left, but there's no talk about the up and the down. And we were in council room this morning, and one of the things that we was said that there's Baptist church in this community, there's Assembly of God, there's a Catholic church, and all are very sparsely attended, and there's no conversation about the up and the down. Well, what is God saying in the midst of this? And what I believe that God is telling us this morning, he's knocking at our door and says, I want your attention. And Jonah, he said, God, he was in a place where he even goes down in a boat. He falls asleep. He is so at peace with his decision. He's at sleep on the bottom of the boat. And the captain of the boat comes to him and he says, Jonah, wake up. Cry out to your God. Maybe he will have mercy on us. And Jonah comes out of the belly of the ship, and they draw lots to find out who's guilty because of this storm, because they thought there was some divine connection between our storm and what was going on right then and there. And they discover the culprit of their situation was Jonah. And they ask him, who are you? And what's remarkable about Jonah's situation is that here is a heathen captain rebuking the prophet of God and saying, prophet of God, why are you not praying? Why aren't you doing something here? Instead of the prophet of God rebuking the heathen, it's the other way around. And Jonah, as he's receiving this, he has this call to go to Nineveh. But one of the things that Tim Keller has highlighted, and which I believe is right on, Jonah has no credibility. He has no experience for making a message to the Ninevites. He hasn't even experienced the grace of God his own self. He's lived the straightest arrow in Israel, He's got this calling as a prophet, but he has no experience of God's grace in his life. And the next thing we notice is that Jonah has an experience that he never expected that he would ever have. He finds himself overboard, and we would say, well, Jonah, you got just what you deserved. But God in his grace shows up with a fish. And that's our God. He says, I am not leaving you in a place to just squirm in your own mess. I am come that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus Christ said. And there Jonah is in the belly of the fish. And what does he say? He cries out from the belly of the fish. And he says, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. You hurled me into the depths. I have been banished from your sight. The engulfing waters threaten me. But he doesn't leave it there. What does he say? The roots of the mountain, I sank down. And when my life was ebbing away, he looks to God, he looks to the temple, and he cries out to the Lord. But you, O Lord my God, have brought me up from the pit. Jonah experienced the grace of God. God was knocking at Jonah's door. He gave him his word. He gave him a storm. He gave him a fish. But Nineveh, he received the prophet. And as they received that prophet, there was a dramatic change that took place in the city of Nineveh. The Ninevites heard the message, and we hear they repented. Not only the people, but from the king down. And even the livestock were involved in this repentance. And there was a turning, a returning to the Lord and saying, we agree with you that we have been wicked, we have been violent, we have been thieving, we've been lying, we've been cheating, we've been stealing, we've been doing all these things. And we agree with you, God, we need to change. And the Ninevites were changed. And as we hear about God's grace falling on the Ninevites, it was a beautiful story. And we'll get into this a little bit more tonight, and I hope everybody comes out tonight because we're going to continue with a discussion in Jonah 4 about God's love and what that meant. But also I believe that in our day, that we too, and it starts with us as believers, we need to turn our face to the Lord and say, God, we, as Daniel said it in his time, he says, we have sinned against you. And Daniel was not just confessing for him personally, but collectively. We have sinned against you, it says in Daniel 7, I believe. And we too need to come to a place and say, God, we need you. You know, we have tried to fix our own problems with riots, with defunding the police. We've tried to fix our own problems with protests and all these other things, but we know they're not working. But if we're going to have the balm of Gilead heal our land, we need you, God. And without you, we're going to continue to swirl around in the mess. But what I want to draw our attention back to is the fact that our God works in the middle of messes. Whether it's in the middle of the mess of our country, whether it's in the mess of our own personal lives and our families, God is at work. And so when we come back to where do we place our eyes, where do we put our trust, you and I need to keep our eyes focused on the author and perfecter of our faith. Because in him we can rest. In him we have a hope that goes beyond this life. With him, that even the darkest and the dimmest and the cruelest and the awfulest situations, there's hope. And so as we think about our situation in the world today, you know, thank God we have a virus. Thank God we have a vaccine to address our virus. Thank God for the precautions that we can take. But ultimately, what we need is not, ultimately we need is God. And that he can bring a healing into our lives that we can't get from any other place. And so as we think about our year of change, I just want to bring a message here to your church that God is at work. And we need to keep our eyes focused on him regardless of what's happening. And Jonah had his issues going on in his life. But ultimately he came back to centering his eyes upon God. And as we center our eyes upon God, there's something beautiful and amazing that takes place that goes beyond our description and our situation. In closing, I want to tell you a little story. We had a conference in Clinton, Ontario, and we invited a man to come. It was Caring for the Heart Ministries, and it was a message. There was about 500 people in the audience. We had a really good attendance at this particular conference. And when we had this person come, there was some Mennonites and some Amish people who live in our area there in Huron County. They also came to the conference. And I'm a reformer, and we're a reformed church here. And what I can tell you is that historically, one of the things that we did as a people is that we killed Baptist people because the intensity of what we did in the past towards the Anabaptist people was just unbelievable as reformed people. And one of the things that I did that night, because I knew there was Anabaptist people in our community, I came to the pulpit and I just said to them, on behalf of the reformed people, I just want to ask your forgiveness for what we have done to your ancestors in the past. And what I can tell you is the entire atmosphere changed in that building. And as I made that statement, the next night, there was a woman from the Mennonite community said, you don't know what happened in our community when those things happened to us. And can you read this letter on behalf of us, speaking, asking forgiveness from you. And I thought about that, and I thought, what an amazing way that God was at work right there in our community in Clinton, Ontario. But it, not just in Clinton, Ontario, it happens all over. I can give you stories, but I'm sure that you can give me stories also of how God's grace has worked in your life. And we never want to forget that. And so in closing, I just want to say, yes, I believe that God is knocking. He wants our attention, but also he wants that return. As he gives us the message, and as return comes, there's great and amazing things that happen that are just beyond our imagination. Sometimes we think that could never, ever change. But with the grace of God, things can change. Hearts can become soft that are incredibly hard. And as change comes, we just say ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, knowing that with you there is grace, but not only is there grace with you, but that you're at work. You're at work here in Vermont and for Jens. You're at work right here in this church. And we thank you for your grace, because we know that without your grace or mercy, without your shedding of your blood, Lord Jesus, on the cross and Calvary, that none of us had any hope. But because you took on sin so that we might know the righteousness of God, our eyes are upon you, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, how you have stirred in each and every one of our hearts and lives. And Lord, where there's hardness, bring softness. And where there's places that need that balm of Gilead to come and bring soothing to the soul, may it indeed come. And bring that healing that is desperately longed for and needed. We pray this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.